Chapter 16.
And so, I have come to request your aid. In the name of Viego Santiarul Moloch Volkala Haigari, King of Camavor, soulbound to the Blade's sanctity.
Having completed her formal request, Callista stood at attention, her plumed helmet tucked under one arm and her head held high as she awaited an answer. The Council of Helia loomed before her. There were 17 masters in all, seated above her in a semicircular arc beneath the scintillant tower's immense golden dome. Some leaned forward upon the ornate railings of their lecterns, while others seemed entirely bored by the proceedings and were barely paying attention. Callista had thought Tyrus would be part of this council, but he had smiled at that and told her that he was merely a lowly adept, a good number of stations below the level of master. But he had accompanied her here and spoken to the council on her behalf, stating that he believed her intentions were pure and that she was a woman of honor. After speaking his piece, he had slipped into the shadows behind her. Callista stood alone now, bathed in light directed down upon her from a series of angled mirrors, while the council members were shadowed, making their exact expressions and features difficult to observe. One of the masters, designated as the Speaker, an aging man called Bartek, who had an unfortunate and striking resemblance to a toad, had asked her to articulate her request, and she had done so, in clear, direct statements, avoiding embellishment. For long moments, she waited for a response. Several of the masters whispered among themselves, while a few stared down at her, as if in judgment. Those moments turned into minutes. Callista broke the silence.
The Queen of Camavor lies dying of a poison unknown to our best healers and priests.
She struggled to keep the frustration out of her voice.
If the stories of the Waters of Life hold any truth, and you are able to help her, I beg that you do.
Still, there was no response. Callista looked among the masters, confused.
Why do they not answer?
She glanced into the shadows behind her, seeking Tyrus, but she couldn't see him.
Will none of you speak?
She said, turning back to the masters.
The Argent Throne would be forever in your debt should you lend your aid. Camavor can be an ally to you.
Silence.
Is it payment you want?
Callista said, her patience fraying.
I am authorized to agree to whatever recompense your order would feel is appropriate. As I understand it, Camavor has a great many artifacts that your fellowship has long coveted.
The council does not respond to bribery nor to threats, implied or otherwise, Camavoran,
snapped one of the masters in the shadows. Callista struggled to identify who it was.
I offered neither threat nor bribe,
she growled, shielding her eyes against the glare.
I have simply come to beg your help. I came in good faith.
This was met with yet more silence. Callista's hands turned to fists, and she was just about to say something more when the speaker lifted his hand.
The council has heard your appeal, Princess Callista of Camavor. We will adjourn to discuss this matter. You will be summoned when we have an answer for you.
Callista scowled.
What is there to discuss? You can either help or let an innocent woman die. If you have the means to save our queen, please just tell me.
You will be summoned when we have an answer.
A bright light shone on him. His head was pounding and his left eye was swollen shut. Had he fallen? He couldn't remember.
Ah, there you are.
The voice was like a bucket of cold water thrown into Ryze's face, and he snapped to full consciousness. In horror, he realized his outstretched arms were affixed to the walls on either side with taut lengths of chain.
Where am I?
In a cell, deep enough that you can scream your lungs out, and no one will ever hear it.
Ryze tried to squirm away from the blinding light.
Who are you?
I am the one who found you, delving into places you oughtn't. I am the one who holds your life in his hands.
Rise squinted, trying to see past the glaring light to the speaker, but all he could make out was a vague shadow. He'd seen the man for an instant, though, before he was knocked out. He remembered his pallid, smiling face. But he had also seen the man's robes and his keys hanging from big iron rings. He was a warden.
You're just a damn thresher.
The shadowy figure's outline went very still. There was violence in that stillness, a simmering rage that threatened to overflow. Rise glared at the warden, refusing to give him the pleasure of seeing him afraid.
Stop with all the theatrics and just hand me over to the custodians. Just get on with it. If they kick me out of the fellowship, then so be it. At least then I won't have to deal with any more of their empty promises and nonsense.
The warden snickered behind the light.
What makes you think I have any intention of handing you over to the custodians?
Rise said nothing.
Perhaps I would prefer to keep you here. Perhaps I intend to break you, to make you suffer, to take you apart slowly, piece by piece, until there's nothing left, and you beg for mercy.
Rise swallowed heavily, trying to hide his fear, but not confident that it was working.
Does anyone even know you are down here?
The warden taunted. Rise could hear the cruel smile in his voice, and he faltered, his defiant expression dropping. The warden laughed. It was a callous, hateful sound, full of bitterness and cruelty.
I think you are starting to realize the trouble you find yourself in. You swan around up there, full of your own self-importance, your own hypocrisy. You spit on us threshers, but this is my domain, mine. Here, all your wealth and influence and corruption count for nothing. Here, I decide what happens to those who violate my laws. Here, I am the powerful one. Here, I am king, and you came down here to steal from me.
The words were spat out in a long, breathless rant, burning with vitriol. In the silence that followed, Rise could hear the warden breathing heavily.
I'm not one of them. I hate them as much as you do.
A bark of laughter met that statement.
Ha! I think not. You wear an apprentice's sigil on your chest. You are one of them, else they would never have let you wear that. You'd have been cast down here, like me.
You're wrong!
Rise snapped, letting his own bitterness bubble to the surface.
I don't come from privilege. Far from it. I come from nothing, and my master is determined to make sure I stay as nothing. He won't teach me, not anything important. He doesn't want me to eclipse him.
Silence. Then the lantern's shutters were turned so that the light was not shining right in his eyes. Rise blinked, the afterimage of the light still blinding, but he could now see who was holding him captive. The warden was tall and gangly, his face pale. His eyes were impossibly cold, dead and uncaring, like a shark's. In one hand he held up a viciously curved blade, a sickle with an edge that looked worryingly sharp.
Maybe you are telling the truth. Maybe not. But it changes nothing.
There is something broken in this man.
Rise's fear tightened within him like a knot. Sucking in a breath, he drew power into his being and his hands began to glow with wild purple energy. The magic burned within him, infusing him. But without his arms free, he was unable to form the runic shapes he needed to control it. Without that focus, the energy spluttered and faded and was then gone.
A rune mage. Now that is interesting.
Rise stared up at him. His vision was still colored by the remnants of his fading magic, casting everything in tones of violet.
What do you mean?
Tell me, how did you unlock the chest, the one you'd opened when I found you? That chest was warded.
The runic wards were not particularly powerful ones. It wasn't difficult for me to unravel them.
Interesting.
He turned away from Rise, pacing back and forth. He seemed to be having some kind of internal debate. Abruptly, he turned back to him.
Tell me, who is your master?
Seeker Adept Tyrus.
Tyrus of Hellasmoor?
Yes.
The warden began to laugh.
Oh, this is too good,
he said, shaking his head.
Tyrus, Tyrus, Tyrus.
You know him?
He stole my position. I was the best of us, but they picked him. He was given everything, and I was thrown down here to rot in the darkness.
Rise met the Thresher's gaze.
He lured me into the Fellowship of Light with a promise to teach me. I have a rare gift, but I need to learn more runic forms to channel my power fully. He told me he would help, but he's taught me nothing. He denies me the knowledge I need, holding it over me to keep me in line, says I am not yet ready for it. But how can I learn if I am taught nothing?
And you were down here seeking that knowledge, in defiance of Tyrus?
Rise looked at him squarely.
Yes.
The warden turned away again, stroking his chin. Rise stayed quiet. After a moment, he turned back.
You could spend centuries scrounging through the vaults like a rat, and never find what you seek. But I know where it is. I could get it for you.
Why would you do that?
The warden stared at Rise with those unblinking, dead eyes.
How did you get down here? Those little tools of yours wouldn't have gotten you past the custodians, or the warding portals, or the Chamber of Echoes. How did you bypass them?
I've always been good at getting in and out of places I wasn't welcome.
The warden smiled, though it didn't reach his eyes.
I think there might be a way that we can help each other.
Callista stalked back and forth in her room like a caged animal.
I understand your frustration, but this is the way the Council operates. They will argue and deliberate until they reach a unanimous decision.
Callista glared at him.
It shouldn't be a decision that needs deliberation. You portray Helia as an enlightened society. But if helping a dying woman needs hours of debate, I think you might need to reassess your opinion.
Tyrus rubbed his eyes.
It has not generally been our way to interfere in the politics and affairs of the outside world. Take no offense, but Kemavor has historically been an aggressive and bellicose nation, and so the arrival of a Kemavoran royal has caused some concern.
I'm not a scout looking to find new lands to conquer. I would be willing to give any reassurance necessary as a sign of my good faith.
I know. I believe you, which is why I brought you here. But there are many who feel I was wrong to do so.
Callista paused in her pacing.
Will you face repercussions?
Possibly.
Tyrus said, shrugging.
But if they sanction me, then so be it. I believe it was the right thing to do.
You wouldn't have brought me here if you didn't think they could help. The waters of life are real, aren't they? Can you not just give me a picture of it and I'll be on my way? Isolde's life hangs in the balance.
I have faith that they will come to the right decision. It's frustrating, but we just need to be patient.
Callista sighed.
I will try, though sitting around and waiting does not sit well with me.
That's understandable. You're a soldier and a general, a woman of action, and you've been searching for this cure without pause. Allow yourself this brief moment to rest. Read a book, go for a walk, whatever you need to pass the time, and hopefully the council will not deliberate too long.
My grandfather always said there'd be plenty of time to rest once we're dead.
Tyrus grunted.
One could certainly not accuse the Lion of Kemavor of being lazy. The man conquered what, 13 independent nations across his lifetime?
18, technically, if you count those who rebelled and were subsequently crushed.
Quite a legacy for his heir to live up to. But I digress. I will take my leave now, and see if I might sway some of the council members to your cause.
Thank you, Tyrus. You are a good man, and I appreciate the trust and belief you put in me.
Thank me once your queen is saved.
Urlok Grail stood just inside the cell door, arms crossed, watching as Ryze worked. He had not let the apprentice out of the cell, though he had freed him from his chains. Grail was wary of his prisoner attempting something foolish, but he had taken precautions.
I have written a letter, which I have left prominently on my desk,
he told the young man before releasing him.
The letter identifies you by name, and states that I apprehended you in the lower vaults, engaged in the theft of forbidden artifacts.
Why? That's not what we agreed!
Grail silenced him with a raised hand.
You do not know where my cell is located, but the custodians do. If you attempt anything when I release these chains, they will find that letter, and that will be the end for you. I know you say you don't care if you're kicked out of the Fellowship, but it is clear that is not true. Speak of any of this, or seek to betray me, and I will destroy you.
That is really not necessary.
Do this minor task for me, and I will deliver to you the knowledge you seek, and burn the letter.
True to his word, Ryze made no hostile moves after he was freed, and now the apprentice was sitting cross-legged on the floor, his eyes closed. Before him was a sealed strongbox. It was locked tight, though there was no traditional keyhole to release it. Instead, there was only an indentation for a master's keystone. Each of those stones was a skeleton key, able to open the rune locks that held Helia's most precious secrets, though exactly which locks they would open depended on the rank of the master. Grail had tested his own on this box and been pleased to find it worked. Ryze had no such key. With his lips moving silently, his hands began to form a series of intricate patterns and shapes. A moment later, the lockbox clicked open.
Easy,
he declared, cracking his knuckles in triumph.
Impressive.
The boy was cocky and a braggart, but his ability to bypass runic wards was more than simply impressive. The warden's mind was whirling at the possibilities this presented, but he let none of that show.
So what's all this about, then? You want me to open some runic lock that's giving you trouble? Bring it here, and I'll do it at once.
There was a seething part of Urlok Grail that was angry at needing this boy's help. That part of him would have preferred to keep him locked up down here in the dark, would have enjoyed seeing his defiant cockiness broken, giving way to panic and fear and terror. That part of him would have relished hearing him cry out in pain and despair as he...
Warden?
He tore himself away from his alluring daydream.
You said something?
The reward you promise. How do I know it will be worth it?
Grail glared at him, then unhooked a leather scroll case from his belt and tossed it to him.
What's this?
Open it.
The boy undid the clasp and drew out a rolled-up piece of parchment torn from a book. Frowning, he leaned in close, peering at the angular writing.
Icathian cuneiform.
He read a few lines, then paused, looking up at Grail in amazement.
Is this?
Yes, it is.
Grail watched in silence as Ryze returned his attention to the page, swiftly tracing its lines with his finger, reading from right to left, as was common in that ancient text. After skimming half of it, he looked up again.
This is what I've been looking for.
And I will give you the whole volume, once you have opened one particular lock for me.
Ryze grinned.
I think we have ourselves a deal. Now, where's this lock?
Grail smiled his predator's smile. He had the boy hooked like a fish on a line.
Tell me, Rise, what do you know of the Well of Ages?